You know, we've been having a little series on fulfilling the truth of the Sabbath. We haven't really spent a lot of time on proving that the Sabbath commandment remains for today, nor have we done really any taken any time proving that the Sabbath was changed from the seventh to the first day of the week. We've already taken ample time, I think, in the past to be glad to talk with anyone if you've still been, if you've had conversations with people. But basically, I've focused on the truth about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And last time we met together, remember the main truths are remembering, keeping in mind the Sabbath and the truths regarding imitating God, and remembering, keeping in mind all the great works that He has done to deliver us and to bless us. Particularly, He wanted them to remember creation, the great work of creation, and then when they got to Sinai, to remember Exodus, and later on to remember their return from Babylon. And we know, of course, that we all remember our salvation secured by Christ. So it's a day to remember God's works of creation and providence and redemption and judgment. It's a day to bask in the Lord's mighty acts of the past and anticipate His mighty acts of the future. The word keep means to guard. We looked at that there's a threat that the Lord warned His people about, the threat from within, our laxity, our worldliness, the threat from without as the world seeks to infringe upon the holy day of God by opening its doors for business and pleasure. It is tempting. The devil is seeking to tempt God's people to break God's commandments in every way possible. He tempts us to lie. He tempts us to steal. He tempts us and with the attitude today about disrespect toward authority. All of God's commandments are attacked from outside. As the devil from the beginning said, you will not die, hath God said. And he's attacking God's commandments. He's attacking God's word. We should not entertain it for a moment. We should resist all temptations to break God's word, because that's the acid test of our love, to be obedient. Don't ever believe that love was not the motivation in the Old Testament. In the Decalogue at Mount Sinai, what did the Lord say? In the second commandment, when He said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image to bow down and worship it. The Lord talked about being jealous, and He said, judging the third and fourth generation them that hate me, but blessing to a thousand generations them that love me and keep my commandments. So love is the motivation for obedience. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How could anyone mistake what Jesus said to be New Testament commandments versus Old Testament? He's quoting the second commandment. Those who love me and keep my commandments. And He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's an exact parallel. How could anyone say that those commandments Jesus was referring to were something other than the Decalogue? He's made it very clear. Well, tonight, I'd just like us to look at the truth, the proper uses of the Sabbath gift. The proper uses of the Sabbath gift. Mark 2 says that Jesus, in defending the disciples who were plucking grain and eating on the Sabbath day, He said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They have not broken the Sabbath commandment by taking food for their necessary use. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I'm the Lord. I determine what works are appropriate, not man. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And I say that they are within the boundaries. What they have done is permissible. Yea, it's acceptable. Just look at a couple other passages with me. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, beginning in verse 6. Luke 6:6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Isn't it sad that they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus? One day, their heart will be saying, What will he do with me? And then chapter 13, commencing at verse 10. 13:10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. I saw a man like that yesterday. I was driving down Boston State Road. I don't know if any of you have seen this man. He's right near where Sharp Street cuts off. Has anyone ever seen him in that little white house on the left before Sharp Street? But he was walking across, bowed over, and the Lord just impressed me, stop and give that man some literature. And he was kind. He took some literature. Pray for him. His name is John Dolman. Maybe someone else could follow through with that. A little old white house just before Sharp on Boston State Road. He's got some old buildings. It's obvious that no one really has been working on the property for a long time. But that man is bowed way over like this. And he needs somebody to encourage him. I don't know if he's alone, but I just had a moment. I gave him a couple pieces of literature. Maybe the Lord would touch someone else to follow through and maybe give him another piece. But this woman was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, it says, It is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. For instance, in the passage in Exodus, we're told that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It's His. It belongs to Him. But He's given it to us. It is His. It is the Sabbath belonging to the Lord, your God. His to do with it as He pleases. Because every day of the week is that. Doesn't He have right over His creation? And doesn't He have right over the time that He has created as well? And He goes on to say that the Sabbath, for the sake of man, came into being. That's what it means in Mark 2:27. The Sabbath, because of man, occurred, was generated. That the Lord made us, He built in the need for man to have a day unto the Lord. It was made for us. He didn't just give us 7 days to do as we please. He took one of those days and said, I'm giving it to you. Why do people think that the Sabbath is a day just to get through? Or a day to make us miserable? Isn't it sad that even Christians look at a Sabbath day as if we're being legalistic? as if it's putting us in prison? It's a gift. It's the Sabbath of the Lord, or belonging to the Lord. I've given it to you. It's a gift by which you can prosper. What is a gift? It's something that... What's that? It benefits us. I don't think you and I would want to give somebody something that was worthless, that we wouldn't think that would benefit them. When we're looking for gifts for people, we think, what do they need? They're going to want this. This is going to be useful to them, beneficial to them. And does the Lord ever give us anything that isn't useful? The Sabbath is a gift from God. It facilitates virtue. A gift from God facilitates us in our Christian life. It doesn't hinder us. And yet there are Christians that say the Sabbath concept, the Sabbath day, is a hindrance. It's legalistic. It binds you. What did John say? His commandments aren't grievous. They're not burdensome. Now what is at the foundation of the fourth commandment? When I ask that, what's the foundation of the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's monotheism, right? And Trinitarianism, but monotheism. He's saying, I want you to be monotheists. He's teaching us He is the only God. What's the foundation of the second commandment? That God is to be worshipped in a specific way, true worship. The first commandment, that we're only to worship Him. The second commandment, you're to worship Him the way He prescribes, true worship. The third commandment, we're supposed to prove His name. Prove His names, His works, His attributes. We're to prove how great He is. We're not to use His name to no good purpose. We're not to make merchandise of His name. We're not to be loose with His name. We're to be very specific. We're to prove His name. Prove His name of Jehovah, the Eternal One. Prove His power in preaching the gospel. Prove His wisdom in studying His word and trusting Him in intricate situations. We're to prove how great He is. It's the foundation of the fifth commandment. I mean, what's the point? Honor authority. God wants us to respect those that He puts in authority over us. But we need leadership. And there needs to be those who follow. Sixth commandment, to promote life. And that God is a God of life. He's a living God. The seventh commandment, purity. Preserve love. To preserve love to be wholesome. Eighth commandment, the concept of giving. That God is a giving God. He's a generous God. We're to be a giving people. The whole point of the eighth commandment is that we are to imitate the Lord and give. Give. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So you and I are to be a giving people in every way. The ninth commandment, truth, truthfulness. God is a God of truth. Therefore, we're not to mislead people. We're not to deceive people. We're not to tell lies and lie under oath. The 10th commandment, contentment, gratitude. We're not to covet what others have. We're to be content with what God has given us and be thankful for what He's given us and be thankful for what He's given others. That God is a God who satisfies us. That we shouldn't always be looking outside the realm of His providence in our lives and be dissatisfied with our lot in life, looking for another calling, looking for another gift, looking, you know what I'm saying, for another wife or for another job. I'm saying that we're to be content in the lot that God leads us in. That God is a God of provision. God is a God of perfection. So as we look at the foundation of these commandments, what it's teaching us about the will of God and what it's teaching us about the nature of God, so let's come to the fourth commandment. What is the root of the fourth commandment? What can we say? That God is good. He's a good God. God is a God who wants to fellowship with us. He's a loving God. He is a God, as Jesus said in John 4, He seeketh such to worship Him. I mean, think of this. The God of glory gives us a week. And He didn't just say, go do your thing. But He says, I want you to have a day with Me. The God of glory. The God of eternity. The God who is holy. There's none like Him. I mean, think about the realm of this world. Can you ever get close to dignitaries? I mean, we can get close, but basically to touch them. I went downtown today and I tried to get in where the dignitaries were. I couldn't get close to the mayor. I mean, he was being interviewed, and so was the chief of police. The chief of police didn't want to give me a moment. You could just tell he was embarrassed at the sign that I had. But the mayor would have, I think, let me. But there were so much media around him. And three or four different, they looked to me like bodyguards, I guess. And I couldn't get to them. And if I had waited any longer, I wouldn't have been able to go and reach the rest of the people. So I asked someone, how can I get this piece of literature in the mayor's hand? And they said, that guy right there. And so I went over and I said, would you please give this to him? But even if I could have gotten it, it would have been just a handshake, hello, I'm praying for you, and that's it. And you think about the way it is in the world today. Can you get close to those who are popular? The common person? Can you get close? Unless you have money, unless you have authority, unless you have popularity. And yet the Lord of glory says to a common man like me, I want you to take a Sabbath with Me. Why do we look at the Sabbath day as legalistic, as detrimental, as hindering, as if it's a gift nobody wanted, and so we got it. A leftover from the Old Testament. Isn't it sad that the Sabbath is looked at as leftovers? Let it be. I love leftovers. I think they taste better after. But it's sad. It's not a leftover. Oh, it remains, and it continues from the Old Testament. If the Lord hasn't abrogated it, then it continues. So some people say, where do you find it in the New Testament? You don't have to, even if it wasn't at all. If the Old Testament continues, if the Lord hasn't abrogated it, and I don't see anywhere where He said that I have abrogated the seventh or the fourth commandment. Matter of fact, He said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I find there no abrogation, no curtailing, no cutting it off. I find there a word to continue it. And that's in the New Testament. It's a gift It's rooted in His goodness, His kindness. That I am a dignitary. I am the only one. The Lord our God is one Lord. I am high above everyone. I am the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place. And I want you to spend time with me. What a gift. I want us to look at it this way. It's a gift of God's goodness and grace. And gifts should neither be abused nor neglected, right? To abuse a gift is to use it for anything and everything. You know, I can remember when Fred built this, that he wanted it to be used for the communion table. And I remember one time we took it out to the foyer and we used it for a common table for a missionary. And I could see he was uncomfortable. And he wanted to be set aside for communion. Now, it wasn't anything superstitious, but what was happening, that the missionary had stones on it that would have marred it, that would have scratched it. And I could see that, and I said, we can't do that. This man spent his time that this would be for the Lord's table. We're not going to abuse it, but we're not going to neglect it either. We're going to use it for the Lord's table. We're going to put the elements on there. We're going to, you know, we're sitting there now. I don't think he ever got to see us at the first time that we got to sit together as elders at the table. But it was his gift to the church. And it shouldn't be neglected, nor should it be abused. And so it is with the Sabbath day. It should not be abused, anything and everything that we can find to do. That's profaning it. Profaning something is to make it common. What do we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? We shouldn't want to do those things on the Lord's Day. That would be abusing it. But neglecting it is to do nothing. So you've got the extremes of doing everything and anything and doing nothing. Both would be breaking the Sabbath, would be abuse and neglect of the gift. Gifts should be used according to their intended purpose. So I'm asking, what are the intended purposes regarding the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, that are lawful? That is, obviously, the intended purposes are permitted, permissible, are that which we have freedom to engage in. Everybody with me? Everybody awake? What are the intended purposes for the Lord's Day? Remember, it was made for man. They're advantageous. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It belongs to the Lord, but in particular, it's for the Lord. That's the idea. So it's for man and it's for the Lord. For man is advantageous. Unto the Lord is mandatory. And it's to do good, he says, is lawful. It's permissible. Now, I looked at the negatives, and I think that this is an intended purpose, actually. That the Sabbath, first of all, provokes us to deny ourselves. The Sabbath is intended to help us to have a day whereby we deny ourselves. For what do we read? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it thou shalt do no work. We're a people that were intended because of sin to work by the sweat of our face to get anything done. If we want anything done, if we want money, if we want food, if we want accomplishment, we've got to work. So the Lord is saying, stop doing what is the cause of what you're looking for in life. Thou shalt not do any work. Thou, neither should your children, neither should your servants. And then you look in Isaiah, he says, not only shouldn't you do any common work, But he said, you shouldn't think your own thoughts or find your own pleasures or speak your own words. You talk about discipline. You talk about self-denial. What is it to think your own thoughts? The word thought is plans. That you stop this day. I don't want you to continue your plans in life. What you've been planning, I want you to halt. And I want you to set aside your thinking, your plans, the routine avenues by which your thoughts run, your conversations are originate. Are you following me? I mean, think of all the things that engage our thinking every day. Family matters and school matters and work matters and hobby matters. You know what I'm saying? He says, I want you to get out of that routine. And he says, not thinking your thoughts or finding your pleasures. He says, I want you to discipline yourself to not find your pleasures. There are many pleasures in life. Sports pleasures. Think of what pleases. Everybody has different categories of things that please you. What pleases you may not please me. It does not please me to think about 4 hours in a mall. It just doesn't please me. That is not a pleasure. That to me is a drudgery. I like to get in and out. But that's a pleasure for someone else. But the point is, he says, I don't want you to find your pleasures. And I don't want you to speak your own words. In other words, how do we normally act? Whatever comes to mind, we're in a conversation or we're with someone. Whatever comes to mind, we bring it down and we bring it into a conversation if it's wholesome. But still, whatever comes to mind, if it's the weather, if it's the ball game, if it's my job, whatever comes to mind, we bring it out in conversation. And yet the Lord is saying, I don't want you just all day long on the Sabbath to bring whatever comes to your mind and make it a conversation. You do that every day of the week. What I want you to do is think my thoughts, find my pleasures, and speak my words. What I want you to do is whatever comes to your mind, if it's not productive, if it's about you, cast it down. Set it aside for Monday. In other words, I want you to specifically start to factor in thoughts about doctrines, about ministries, about God's works of the past, about God's will in the present, factoring God into our thinking. People wonder, how do I introduce a religious subject in a conversation? That's exactly what the Lord is saying that we're to be actively doing on the Sabbath day. Don't we do that in a small way during the week? We meet someone and there's small talk, but what we're trying to do is get to the meat, get to the gospel. That's what the Lord wants us to do on the Sabbath, all day long. In other words, the gift of the Sabbath is helpful to deny ourselves. What is the natural man all about? All about himself. We lived for me, myself, and I. Isn't that what the natural man is? It's an opportunity to deny ourselves. It's a day to gauge whether we're self-seekers. Are we slaves to our labor and pleasure? Are we lovers of our labor and pleasure more than lovers of God? This is the Lord's testing us. The Lord said that the world loves pleasures more than they love God. But didn't He say that in one of the texts? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So the Lord is saying, okay, I want a day to be a gauge. Do you love me more than these? He said that to Peter. And this is a good thing. He's saying, this gift of the Sabbath is to show that you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That at the drop of a hat, yea, at the entrance of the Sabbath day, that you say, it's all dropped now. Because I love my Lord, and He's given me this day to be with the King of glory. And let the world, leave the world behind. Leave the job behind. Leave the hobbies behind. Leave the mundane behind, because He's worth it. And we are asked every Sabbath, do you love God more than these? And He didn't tell us what these are, did He? It's something maybe different for you than it is for me. Fill in the blank. What vies for your time? What sometimes invades your devotions in your mind? What are those things that have a grip on you and me? They're the these. Can we set them aside? Or are they constantly invading our minds? The Lord is saying, that's what I'm touching. You love me more than these. It's an opportunity to smash whatever comes to mind if it's taking us away from the Lord. Whatever interferes with our mind and heart and worship, He's saying, I want you to be released from these. So the Sabbath provokes our pride. It rebukes our pride as a day to deny ourselves. Secondly, it provides time to worship the Lord unhinderedly. It's a Sabbath of the Lord, or to the Lord your God, or for the Lord. He's saying, call the Sabbath a delight. Call it the holy day of the Lord. Call it honorable. It's weighty. It's opportunistic. And honor Him in it. You see, in order to worship the Lord, we need time. Right? You need time. I mean, think about your devotions in the morning. You need time. But we only allot a little, don't we? We say, okay, I need an hour, I need a half hour. But do we really get what we want out of that half hour? Does it really satisfy us? Think of this. The Lord is saying, here's a whole day. Here's a whole day. Here are blocks of time. In order to worship God, we need time and we need concentration. You can't do two things at once. Give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And the Sabbath provides for both. This is what Dr. Barrett said in his book. I'm quoting what he said. He's right. In order to worship the Lord aright, you need time and you need focus. And the Sabbath is a gift to provide both. It provides us the time and the time to focus. What did he say about the Jews? They honor me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. They were taking time, but they weren't concentrating. The Lord wants not just the time, but He wants the heart. And you need time to do it. You need a day to do it. Jesus said, can you watch with me an hour? I think we can apply that. Can you watch with me a day? I'm the God of glory. Isn't it worth it? We spend time with our spouses, and we should, with our children. We have dinner times. We try to fit these things in as much as we can during the week. And here's the God of glory. The God of glory. A day with Him. We need this day in order to have a proper frame of mind. So the Sabbath is an opportunity to deny ourselves, to show that we love the Lord more than these things of this world. It's a day to give us time and time to concentrate. I tell you, that's a gift. Time is precious. I think sometimes we look at tangible gifts more as more important than time. What more can we ask for is time to worship God? Our time is fleeting. The sands of time are sinking. What's more precious than time? Things. Moth and rust doth corrupt. But time, you can spend time and have dividends for eternity. Why do we live for things, don't we? Instead of time spent. And I think we're all learning this in our families. Isn't it more important to spend time with someone necessarily than give a gift? So often, we sometimes assuage the grief or the guilt of not spending time with our spouse by just giving them something. The world does that. They just give this, give that. Here's a new car. Here's a new house. But yet, deep down inside, the woman's saying, I want you. I want your time. Isn't that so? Ladies, would you rather have your husband's time and just this and that? Does that really satisfy you? A house? A car? I mean, really deep down, does it satisfy you? The car starts to rust. The house starts to creak. Carpets get old. I mean, things are falling apart. I mean, it's going to get old. Moth and rust are corrupt. Your fire is going to consume. And I think we treat the Lord that way. Here's my tithe. Here's my hour. Well, people, as if they've done God a favor, they keep the Sabbath hour. They go to church. What's the Lord saying? I want you, my son, give me your heart. This is a gift for us. Young people, I'm challenging you because this is, the world is such, is a place that is saying, in all its neon lights, we want the young people. The older people are set in their ways. Is the Sabbath to you just a day to get through? Is that the temptation? If it is, check your heart. Pray that God would give you a desire to know Him, to want to be with Him, to look forward to the Sabbath. If you're finding that Saturday night your heart sinks because the Sabbath has come, cry out to God to love Him. Cry out to God for forgiveness and ask Him to totally change that. And to look forward to. The Jews did that. When the Sabbath came, they said, oh, we can't wait till it's over so we can buy and sell again. And there have been times in my life that the Sabbath is coming on and I have not looked forward to it. I have not had the attitude. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Those are people that look forward to it. Thank God He's delivered us from our mundane things. Thirdly, the Sabbath promotes virtue and service toward others. It's a platform. It facilitates serving others. What does He say? Look, you got an ox in the ditch. You got a beast to be brought from the stable to drink. A sheep in the pit. He gives four examples. An ox out of the ditch, an ox or ass being brought to drink, a sheep in a pit, Matthew 12, and a man who's hungry, who had an emergency, David. In other words, it's a day that the Lord says, okay, look to help others. Watch for people in emergencies. Look to help somebody who needs a drink. Look to help somebody who's in a ditch. Obviously, we understand this to be spiritually speaking, as He was healing people, saving people. But not just spiritual things, but having someone over for dinner. We've got time. We don't have to rush because it's the Sabbath day. Today, God has given us to do good on the Sabbath, to save life, to reach souls. I can plan to do, to go downtown to witness. What else? I don't have to drive a bus. I don't have to chop wood. I'm delivered from that today. I need sleep, yes, but I'll try to get to bed early Saturday night so I can get enough sleep to be strengthened. If I need a half hour in the car on Sunday afternoon to refresh my body after a few hours of work, okay, but I want to make sure that it's a day to facilitate doing good to others as well as worshiping the Lord. What does it mean to do good? Our brothers of old gave three categories: works of necessity, works of mercy, and works of piety were works allowed on the Sabbath. Works of necessity, they pluck grain. They have to eat. They have to provide opportunities to eat our necessities. Works of mercy, tending to the sick, helping those in need, healing. We need to visit widows and orphans in their affliction. Give people a call who are lonely. The works of mercy, write letters. And of course, works of piety. Evangelizing souls. And concern about their spiritual condition. The Lord gives us ample time to do this. Sabbath is a day to busy ourselves in the Lord's work. The Lord said the priests profaned the Sabbath without guilt because it was a common day that they made to do works of piety. Serving the Lord is a form of acknowledging His goodness. The Sabbath promotes virtue and service toward others. It's a good gift. It's a day to deny ourselves, show that we love the Lord more than these. It's a day to worship the Lord. Time, concentration. It's a day to do good. It's a day that the Lord has given us to serve others, to look for oxes in the ditch, to look for people in ditches. What were you doing at the parade, Craig, today? Weren't you looking for lonely people? Weren't you looking for people that were concerned about eternity or had some concern about their... Weren't we trying to locate? Weren't you at the nursing home looking for someone that was weak? Someone that was in need of salvation? Someone that had a felt need that was obviously in trouble? So we should be doing this on the Sabbath. We've got time to do it. We don't have to worry about checkbooks. Balancing checkbooks. We don't have to worry about the mundane things of life. And I know in Craig's case, he has a job that's a work of necessity. In his case, he does have that concern. We are certainly hoping, if it pleases the Lord, that He'd deliver you of that. But it is a day to look for opportunities lead people to drink. Take them out of the stable. Take them away from the drink of the world. So many young people with alcohol in their hand today, they know not what they do. Wasn't it sad? Thousands. And they think that's the high life. Over and over again, you could have the drink of eternal life. Think about Christ. He can give you the drink of eternal life. Take him away from the stable. Take him away from the things of this world and leading them to drink of Christ. That's what we should be engaged in on the Sabbath day. And finally, the Sabbath is a gift that proves to be a foretaste of glory. It should be a taste of heaven. What does it say of Brother Fred in the Beatitude in Revelation? They rest from their toils. It's a Sabbath day. Day of rest. We rest from our toils. Tell me that's not a foretaste of glory divine. Moses prophesied of days of heaven on earth. What is he talking about? Yes, I understand revival and days where they were blessed, but the Sabbath is a weekly fulfillment of that. This word Sabbath means to cease, to rest, to suspend, not necessarily to sleep. The point is, he's saying, the word Sabbath means to set a limit. In other words, he's saying, you're pausing in the busyness of life. What are you doing when you go to heaven? You have left the busyness of life. You've left this life and now you're in a new life. The Sabbath is a day to suspend. It suspends the routine of life. Today, as Dan says so often, to refuse the world. To ignore the world and its vie for our time. I don't have to answer the phone for all these callers. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to let them invade my time. As the song says, safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in His courts today. Day of all the week, the best. Why does the writer say that? Day of all the week, the best. Because it's an emblem of eternal rest. That's why he wrote that. Safely through another week. Come on, let's... God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in His courts today. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Today we can enter into what Fred's entered in a little way. Little degree. What's he been doing for 8 days? Waiting on the Lord. Hasn't he? What's he been doing for 8 days? He's been worshiping Christ. He's been listening to Christ preach. Hasn't he? He's been listening to people who said, I've been here for hundreds of years. And this is what it's like. He's been listening. Conversation about the Savior. He's pondering, isn't he? Isn't he pondering, oh, I now understand that doctrine fully. Wow. You think of all those things, all the doctrines that he considered in his lifetime since he was saved. Now he's thinking, it's all come together. He's rejoicing in the doctrine of election. He's rejoicing in the doctrine of predestination. He's rejoicing that he's adopted. He's rejoicing that he's regenerated. He's rejoicing that he's glorified. He understands fully now. As Paul said, I know in part, I shall know fully. What are we doing on the Sabbath day here? We're listening to the Lord's Word. We have time to fully think through, or more fully think through, doctrine. We have time to think about what they're doing in heaven. We have time to be doing things that they're doing in heaven. We're singing more. We're rejoicing more. Heaven is what's in heaven. They have time. They have concentration. They're worshiping. They're resting from their toils. What are we doing today? We're resting from our toils of life. We're worshiping. We have time. We're concentrating. In Isaiah chapter 66, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Is that just a millennium? I think it's a picture of eternity. In other words, it's all one Sabbath. From one Sabbath to another, he's saying, they'll come to worship me. What, in heaven, we're always worshiping Christ. And so indeed, heaven is one long Sabbath. And on earth, the Sabbath should be a foretaste of glory divine. From Monday to Wednesday, we're working off the Sabbath. From Thursday to Saturday, we're working toward the Sabbath. This is the picture Isaiah gives. From one Sabbath to another, they're worshiping me. And instead of us looking forward to Monday to do our things, we're working off the blessing of being here today and being in God's presence all day. And Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is the effect of today. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are in the prospect of next Sabbath. We're one, from one Sabbath to another. How do you live like in heaven on earth? That we live to worship. That's what Christianity is. We live from our worship, we serve from our worship, and we live for worship. And so the Sabbath day is a hinge of our lives. It's a hinge of our whole week. And can we work from the Sabbath tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, and as the blessing of today has the effect tomorrow, and as we come toward the end of the week, we look forward to coming again in the presence of God. What is He going to say to me? What is going to be the effect of His presence? What are going to be some of the new faces? Who are the new faces that we would anticipate as the Lord has worked this week? Truly, the Sabbath day is a hinge of our lives. It proves to be a day of heaven on earth, a foretaste of glory. So the proper uses of the Sabbath is, it's a test for us to deny ourselves. Time to worship the Lord and concentrate on His glory. A table, a platform to promote virtue, to do good to others, and a taste of heaven on earth. I see at least those four proper uses of the Sabbath day fulfillments. And the question is, aren't you going to give us a list of do's and don'ts? I just want to ask you some questions. If the matter you're asking promotes thoughts of God, then I would think most likely it is something to do on the Sabbath. If it's something that hinders your thoughts of God and hinders your work to do good for others and hinders your concentration and promotes pride and exalts self, I would think that it's something I wouldn't want to do. Isn't it that simple? I want you to mention a couple things. Watching a basketball game today would not have promoted thoughts of God for me. It would not have, matter of fact, it would have hindered me from doing good. I went into someone's room at the nursing home and there was a basketball game, and right away, you know, it's amazing how that thing, something grips you. But if I don't stay there and watch that, I wouldn't have been able, all right, what was I doing? I was going from room to room to visit people. How you doing? But I went into one room and there it is. What if I had stayed there a half hour? It would have taken a half hour to finish the game. And the people that I reached for the next half hour that I did because I left that room would never have been reached. It would have hindered my work. It would have taken me away from thoughts of God. I'm not going to give you a list of do's and don'ts. But I know this, that the Sabbath is a day where we should focus on the Lord, worship Him, facilitate good works toward others. A day to give us opportunity to humble our pride. And you make the decision before God whether that activity, that engagement, that plan is in line with what God wants us to do in preparing for heaven. Would I want the Lord to come in the room if I was doing that or saying that? We should always be thinking this way. The Sabbath was made for us. It's a gift from God. Let's look at it as based in His goodness toward us, His love toward us. He loves us to give us a day just to be with Him and be with each other in worshiping Him. May we never look at it as legalistic. May it never be a day just to get through. May it be a day that we say, Lord, let heaven or let time stand still. Please give us a long-lived day. As Psalm 92 says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And it's a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Isn't he telling us, I don't want just your hour. I want your morning, your evening. I want your whole day. That's called chiasmus, figure of speech. When he tells us the morning and the evening, he's saying all of it. Just like Alpha and Omega is a chiasmus. It's an X. What he's saying is, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, but I'm everything in between. I'm not just the beginning and the end, and I'm not anything in between. I'm everything. And when he says, I want you to worship me in the morning and the evening, as he said in the Old Testament, I want a sacrifice in the morning, I want a sacrifice in the evening, was he saying, okay, then remember the Sabbath 2 hours to keep it holy. Is that what he was saying? He was saying, I want the morning and I want everything in between. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And it's so sad when we try, is it sacrilege to jip God, and to chip away, try to get what we can, when we should say, oh Lord, please, let me give you more. So much more. It's kind of like tithing, you know. If I make $116.80, wouldn't it be sad to give? Okay, I should have said something that was easier math. Wouldn't it be sad if Dan and Craig got a check for $16.08? Wouldn't it? Shouldn't I round it out? I mean, even the government tells you should round it. They're even kind enough to say, if you owe 48 cents to go backwards to the dollar, right? Well, maybe not in the sales tax. But why is it that, you know, here we come to the Sabbath day and we say, okay, 6 o'clock, boom, the alarm goes off. Okay, we're starting the Sabbath. And then Sunday night, 6 o'clock, the alarm goes off. Okay, now everybody jumps, does what they've been doing on Saturday afternoon. Is that the spirit of the Sabbath? Is that the spirit of tithing? Is the Lord that way to us? Isn't He generous to us? I just ask us to check our hearts with God's Word. May the Lord help us always to see that He's good to us. May we never allow the Sabbath day to be a day of drudgery. And it's our fault if that's the case. It's a day, He says, call it a delight. Because I'm letting you worship the King of Glory. I'm bringing a common soul, a soul that was worthy of hell, into my presence. I seek you to worship me. What a kind God that is. The Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift from our Lord Jesus Christ. May we never abuse it. May we never neglect it. May we use it properly for Him. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Do help us to have hearts for Thee. We thank you that you have a heart for us, that you love us with an everlasting love, and you've proven it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. May it be that we so love the Lord that we obey Thee from the heart, that we keep your commandments, that we don't look to chip away at this and chip away at that, cheat at this and cheat at that, but oh Lord, that we would not see the Sabbath merely as 24 hours. Lord, that we would see it as a day, a period of time to spend with Thee, a day of heaven on earth. A day not just to get through, but a day to enjoy. A time to enjoy the Lord. to look for opportunities to do good to our fellow man, to those who are likewise made in the image of God. A day, Lord, to humble our pride and to deny ourselves. A day to think about what heaven's going to be like. We pray that you would dismiss us with a sense of your presence and that these truths would sink deep down. We would meditate upon them. Help us to be a people that are not like the tin man without a heart. Give us, Lord, a church with a heart. In Jesus' name, amen.